For today's update, I'm hoping to clear up much of the confusion surrounding the belief that a yet future COVID-19 vaccine could eventually become the mark of the beast that we're told about and is foretold in the book of Revelation. Also, I think I'd be grossly remiss were I not to follow up on my comments last week concerning the QAnon Great Awakening. Lord willing, next Sunday, I plan to address this movement from a biblical perspective and explain why I believe it is a deception. That is next week, but for today, I want to begin by thanking everyone who sent me information on both topics, actually, and I want to let you know that I'm learning so much from all of you, and actually, much of what I'm going to be talking about today came from those who are very astute and well-informed, many of whom are in the medical field. Please know that I spent most of the week going through all the material, and it was quite voluminous, I might add, that I was sent. And before we jump in, I want to start with Isaiah chapter 8, verses 11 through 13. We may talk about this as well next week, Lord willing, but verse 11, Isaiah 8, "This is what the Lord says to me, with his strong hand upon me, warning me not to follow the way of this people. Do not call conspiracy everything this people calls a conspiracy. Do not fear what they fear, and do not dread it. The Lord Almighty is the one you are to regard as holy. He is the one you are to fear. He is the one you are to dread." When the prophet Isaiah wrote this prophecy, the armies of Israel and Syria had already destroyed Judah and were headed for Jerusalem. And the reason is because there was a conspiracy to put their own ruler on the throne and dethrone the king, King Ahaz. As such, Isaiah is inspired by the Holy Spirit to declare in this prophecy that they need not fear what their enemies were conspiring to do. Rather, the Lord wanted his people to fear him instead of fearing the evil conspiracies and threats. It's important to understand that the word for conspiracy in the original language of the Hebrew Old Testament carries with it this idea of a plan, a plot, an agenda by a group of people to do something evil, unlawful, and harmful by conspiring and allying together. It's with this understanding that I think we're ready to proceed with what I would argue is this evil plan, conspiracy, if you will, to vaccinate every human in the world. While there will be those who, of their own volition, will want the vaccine to return to their lives, eventually it will become mandated for all. Key word, all. And I want to come back to that word, all, here shortly. Now, for those of you who are thinking to yourselves, no, come on, that's not going to happen. Two words. Think masks. 3 months ago, I'll confess, 3 months ago, you come to me and you said, Pastor JD, do you think they'll ever mandate masks? I would have said, no, I don't think so. Hello? Even now, some states are making it mandatory to wear a mask. I am of the belief, and I'm not going to go off script too much today. I'm going to stick with my notes for what I think would be deemed obvious reasons, given the nature of what I'm going to be talking about today. A lot of information. It's very technical as well, but this is one of those times where I'm going to go off script and just say that I am personally of the belief that now it's a mask, M-A-S-K, to prepare everyone for the mark, M-A-R-K. Because I know, like you, I can't go into Foodland and buy spicy ahi poke, which I really love, spicy ahi poke, unless I have a mask. Either that or I send somebody in to buy it for me, which I've thought about actually. But it is required. It is mandatory if I want to buy anything in that store. This is one of actually many reasons that I believe the yet future COVID-19 vaccine will ultimately become the mark of the beast prophesied in Revelation chapter 13. Let's read Revelation chapter 13. You can follow along verses 15 through 18. I want to point a couple things out. Verse 15, John writes, he was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and, listen very carefully, cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, again, hang on to that, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads. And, verse 17, that no one may buy spicy ahi poke. No, it doesn't say that. That's in the JDV. Sorry. Let me try that again, verse 17. And that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. Okay. Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. Got it right this week. I saw thrones on which were seated those who had been given authority to judge. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded. Why? Because of their testimony about Jesus and because of the word of God. They had not worshiped the beast or its image and had not received its mark on their foreheads or their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years, speaking of the kingdom age, that millennial reign for a 1,000-year period. Okay, if you'll kindly indulge me, I would like to connect the prophetic dots, as it were, and explain how said vaccine seems to fit with all of this. First, and this is very important, please don't miss this. Receiving the mark will be in concert with a vow or oath, if you prefer, to pledge one's allegiance to and worship of the beast. Furthermore, receiving the mark will also be such that all who do take it in worship of the beast will only then be able to work and buy and sell. It's important to understand that the Antichrist has not yet been revealed. So those who receive a vaccine now are not and cannot be worshiping the beast. Simply put, there's no beast to worship yet by virtue of the fact that he's not been revealed yet. However, as I've stated in prior updates, I will personally never accept any vaccine. And this for a number of reasons, chief of which is because of what's in them and the potential harm from them. As for those who have asked about whether or not they should accept a vaccine in order to return to their employment, that is your decision. I will never tell you what you should or should not do. I can only encourage you or advise you, as I did last week, to really do some research. And you need information because this is a decision that you may be forced to make. And I do want to encourage you, as I mentioned last week, for those of you who refuse anything like this, under the threat of losing your livelihood, that God will never leave you or forsake you. He will always provide for you. His children are never begging bread. God may choose to provide for you in ways that you could have never otherwise known. And who knows that maybe God is actually shutting that door only to open up another one. And whenever God does that, I know in my own life, whenever God has shut a door, it's always been to open up a way more better one, if I can say it that way. But again, that's your decision to make. I've already made my decision. I will not, because of the information that I have and the information that I want to share with you today. Before you make that decision, you may want to do a little more research on how the COVID-19 vaccine will have the propensity to alter your human DNA. We talked about this before. I won't go into it in great detail today, but pictured here is a screenshot of GatesNotes.com, which is actually Bill Gates' blog site. In a video on the site, Gates states, and I quote, "That's why I'm particularly excited by two new approaches that some of the candidates are taking," speaking of the COVID-19 vaccine candidates, "RNA and DNA vaccines. If, quoting, if one of these new approaches pans out, we'll likely be able to get vaccines out to the whole world, all the world, much faster. With RNA and DNA, listen, instead of putting that shape in, you put instructions into the code to make that shape. That's the DNA code, the genome, the human DNA code. So you're putting instructions, splicing into that DNA code and telling it what to do. That is altering your human DNA. To the question of whether or not we as Christians will ever be put in this position to accept the mark, the answer is absolutely not. And please stay with me. Here's why. The church has to be raptured prior to the 7-year tribulation when the aforementioned prophecies are fulfilled. Now, again, listen very carefully because I don't want to be misunderstood when I say this. This is very important. That's not to say that the rapture has to happen before the vaccine is available. It is to say that we will not be forced to take it and pledge allegiance to and worship of the beast. How are you so sure? Well, I'm so sure on the authority of God's sure word of prophecy, on the authority of God's written word of truth and the sound doctrine and the truth of a pre-tribulation rapture, particularly, by the way, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, which we've also talked about at length. As for how and when the vaccine will actually transition to the actual mark of the beast, it's my belief that it will ultimately be vis-a-vis the DNA-altering biotechnology using artificial intelligence. Now, I know that was kind of a mouthful, so let me see if I can maybe expound on that just briefly for just a moment. The technology that is in existence today is such that, and this, I've been asked this, how is it possible that the COVID-19 vaccine can be the mark, because nobody's going to get a vaccine injection into the head, the forehead, right? Right. That's where this quantum dot tattoo technology comes into play, and the patent that currently exists on this technology, which also exists. It is a tattoo. And this, by the way, for me anyway, and I hope maybe for you as well, because this is another question that's brought up, because some translations render Revelation 13 as the mark going in, not on. I would submit that it's both, because this technology is such that the tattoo goes on and subsequently in. So I believe it's both. You know, today you'll see, and this is, again, I think, preparing, a preconditioning, pre-programming, if I can even say it that way, where you see people, before they're allowed entrance or access into a place, they have this, I can't even say it, it's a thermometer to take your temperature on your forehead. How convenient. Before you're allowed access into whatever that place is that you're going, presumably a place to buy something from. And so, man, we were asked about this. Why don't we take people's temperatures before they, you know, come into the church? No! No! That's when you can really do this, if you want. Not going to do that. Sorry. Listen, come on. You're 7 times 3, as I had a boss used to always say to me. You're 7 times 3. You're old enough. You're 21. You're an adult. If you're not feeling well, please just stay home. Nothing personal. Don't come to church, please. Just stay home. If you're not feeling well, stay home. Never thought I'd, you know, see the day where, as a pastor, I would say, don't come to church. So you see it there on the screen, and maybe the guys can put it up for the video. This technology already exists, and according to Daniel 9:27, 2 Thessalonians 2:4, Revelation 13:15-18, which we just read, and Matthew 24:15-25, it seems that this transition to becoming the mark actually takes place at the midpoint of the 7-year tribulation. That's where the Antichrist will demand to be worshipped. And those who refuse to worship him, the image of the beast, then they are killed. This is why I'm so thankful to be solid doctrinally concerning the pre-tribulation rapture. Were I not, I would personally be freaking out right now. Can I tell you that? I just did. I would be scared to death, literally. I would be so full of fear right now if I were not settled and sound doctrinally concerning the truth, not theory, the truth of the pre-tribulation rapture. Sadly, it's after the rapture that those who are left behind will enter into the 7-year tribulation and be put in that position to make that decision, namely that of having to accept the mark of the beast under the threat of being beheaded if they refuse to worship the beast. If you were to ask me what I thought was one of the main reasons that it's actually this yet future vaccine that becomes the mark of the beast, my answer would be this. It's because it's both medical and pharmaceutical. And I'll explain. Please stay with me. Revelation chapter 9, verses 20 and 21. But the rest of mankind, who were not killed by these plagues, did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see, nor hear, nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries, hang on to that word, or their sexual immorality or their thefts. This word for sorceries in the original language of the Greek New Testament is a very interesting word. It's the Greek word pharmakia, from where we get our English word pharmacy or pharmaceutical. So this would carry with it the idea of this pharmaceutical dynamic, this pharmacy, this medical something. And Revelation 16:2, to me, really seems to point to this being something medical and pharmaceutical, because John writes, the first angel went and poured out his bowl on the land, and ugly festering sores broke out on the people who had the mark of the beast and worshiped its image. Do you see where I'm going with this? This is both why and how we can, in effect, connect the dots of the mark of the beast to the pharmaceutical of a vaccine. First, those who take it will have this medical reaction. Listen, I'm not any medical expert, but I do know one thing, that when your body is trying to get rid of something toxic and poisonous, it will come out in a number of ways. And one of those ways is you'll have these things that will break out on your skin. So that implies that it is a medical reaction to some sort of a pharmaceutical that has been taken. So, those who take it will have this medical reaction, and those who refuse it will be medically put to death by a beheading. Now, some of you are looking at me right now with that look. You know the look. I can't tell if you're looking at me like that online. Only you know. Because I know this sounds like, come on, something out of a sci-fi movie. Well, enter the current medical codes in place and now updated, as many of you were so gracious to inform me about this last week. One online member wrote and sent me the updated code that is now ICD-10 instead of ICD-9, which I mentioned last week. Here is a quote from this screenshot of the website, and you'll see the URL there. They'll leave it up for you online. Quoting now, the 2020 edition of ICD-10 CMX99.9, that's interesting, 999, just saying, became effective on October 1st, 2019. How convenient. Just in time. Because they had to update it for COVID-19. The only thing is, that didn't happen till, This is the American ICD-10 CM version of X99.9. Other international versions of ICD-10 X99.9 may differ. ICD-10-CM coding rules X99.9 describes the circumstances causing an injury, not the nature of the injury. External cause index entries containing back references to X99.9, assault by in Y09 cutting or piercing instrument X99.9, beheading by guillotine, homicide X99.9, decapitation. These are billing codes, medical billing codes, to get reimbursed. These are the codes now that you use for the billing. Another online member sent me this information. ICD-10 equivalent of 978.0 as of October 2015, ICD-9 codes are no longer used for medical coding. Instead, use the equivalent ICD-10 CM code. What really struck me, and you'll see it there on the screen, and we'll leave the URL for those of you that want to go to the site, but there's this code, and I quote, quoting, ICD-10 code T50A91A, poisoning by other bacterial vaccines. Accidental, unintentional, initial encounter, billable. I don't know what that means, but I do know what poisoning by other bacterial vaccines means. Yet another online member sent me this website from NCBI, which is the National Center for Biotechnology Information. And this was in response to a video that I had mentioned last week that I had received from many online members. I vetted it and concluded that it was fake. It's a video that has been making its rounds on social media, particularly in recent months, about a vaccine that can actually alter the DNA, specifically as it relates to what's known as the VMAT2 God gene. While I'm still unsure about the validity and authenticity of the video, I did make the decision to at least mention this website with the hopes that maybe you could do your own research. And if you do, let me know. I'm very curious. I do have this video in my archives. I've already got it transcribed, the quotes from it. But the website seems to be a legitimate experiment analyzing the God gene in a non-majors laboratory course. Here's a quote from the abstract. References linking genes to complex human traits such as personality type or disease susceptibility abound in the news media and popular culture. In his book, The God Gene, How Faith is Hardwired into Our Genes, Dean Hamer argues that a variation in the VMAT2 gene plays a role in one's openness to spiritual experiences. So, if that's true, and it very well could be, then do you realize the implications of this? We've already heard this quote from Bill Gates. I mean, they're not hiding it. They're very excited about it, actually, that a vaccine will have this ability to alter the human DNA. So let's say that they target the specific part of our DNA genetically that plays this role in one's openness to spiritual experiences. Not only would altering the human DNA bring us closer to and even in some ways accomplish what's known as transhumanism. Why is that important? Because Jesus became a man with human DNA. He was fully God, fully man, to redeem man, humankind, mankind. So Satan, from the very beginning, has been trying to play with and alter the human DNA. Just go to Genesis, you'll find out about that. Because if he can change it, alter it, and remove it from human DNA, and it becomes transhuman, then now that human is no longer human fully, and as such, outside the scope of God's redemption for mankind, humankind. So, kind of makes sense that into our DNA, God, we are fearfully and wonderfully made, which is why, and I say this respectfully, and I think I have the answer to this question, as to why it is that physicians, surgeons, doctors, those in the medical community, how can they not believe in God? Oh my goodness. We are so, just so complex. I mean, to think that, you know, we evolved from the goo to the zoo to you, as one said. Actually, I'm going to share a testimony at the conclusion from an online member, but you know, this is the thing about, you know, those who are self-proclaimed atheists. That takes more faith to me. How about the Big Bang Theory? I like how one explained it. You know, the chances, the odds, the statistical probabilities, mathematically, of there being this Big Bang, and then over millions and jillions and whatever years, we evolved to, come on. But it's like there's an explosion in a junkyard, and that explosion creates a fully functioning Boeing 777. Hello? Is everybody okay with that? That's what you're saying. You mean to tell me that my internal organs all function so perfectly? My thyroid knows what to do. I pick on the thyroid because you have no idea. I just recently learned how important the thyroid is. Oh my goodness. This small little, you know, internal organ is so important. I feel so bad. I'm not going to treat my thyroid so badly anymore, but it's so important, the thyroid. So is the pancreas. So is everything else. And it all functions so perfectly. And that's not even getting to the brain. We won't go there. Man, the brain, the human brain? Are you kidding me? Anyway, God is the designer. He created us in His image, and we are fearfully and wonderfully made. He created the DNA. And you know what's really interesting about our DNA? We are all unique. I was thinking about this. There has never been anyone like me in the world ever before in human history. Thank God. Right? And there will never be anyone exactly like me after me in the world yet future. That we are uniquely, perfectly, fearfully, wonderfully made. And I do believe, maybe it's not this VMAT2, very well could be, but I know for a fact that God created us to have this hunger and yearning for Him. Doubtless you've heard it said that God created us with this God-shaped vacuum, this God-shaped hole that can only be filled and satiated by Him and with Him and in Him. When we get to Ecclesiastes, we finish Proverbs on Thursday nights, we're going through the Bible. We're going to get into this, and we will get into Ecclesiastes. Not sure when yet, but when we do, we're going to see this very clearly, how that all is vanity. Every pursuit. I think about Jesus with that woman at the well, and He says to her that if you keep drinking this water, you will thirst again, but the water that I have, if you drink from it, you'll never thirst again. Speaking in the spiritual sense, that spiritual thirst, that spiritual hunger, that emptiness, that hole in your soul can only be filled and satisfied by the God who loved you and created you in His image. Okay, let's get back to the prophecy update already in progress. Several weeks ago, I was contacted by Susanna Shale. She's an online member, and she's the executive producer of the film 1986, The Act. It was just released on Wednesday, this last Wednesday, July 8th. I actually rented it and watched it, and whew, it is a chilling documentary that I would recommend. I would highly recommend, not for the faint of heart. It's pretty tough stuff. But in it, Dr. Andy Wakefield, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Del Bigtree, and others thoroughly document the history of Big Pharma and the vaccine industry having no legal liability for any vaccine injury. Again, I wouldn't recommend it for those who maybe... It's pretty intense. It's really intense. It's not a Christian documentary, but it is very informative, and it is information that I would venture to say the majority... I didn't know about this until just recently. And were it actually not for COVID-19, I would have never known about this. And once I started doing some research on this, learning more about this, it all started to make sense. And I will even take it a step further and say that now, personally, with my family and my children and their vaccinations, now some things are starting to make some sense. Okay, one more thing. I really didn't know what to make of this, but I thought I would at least mention this. It's an I-24 news report, also on Wednesday. Did you hear about this? Kanye West and his presidential run as the birthday party candidate. I thought this was, when my son told me about it, I thought, come on. He said, no, it's real. And it is. Here's a quote from the report. You'll see why I'm mentioning it here in a moment. Quoting, in some of the more bizarre excerpts from the interview, the rapper vowed that his White House will be run like Wakanda, I guess I'm pronouncing that right, a fictional country from Marvel's Black Panther movies, and revealed that he is not a huge fan of COVID-19 vaccines, calling them the mark of the beast. He also revealed that he himself went down with COVID-19 in February. Okay. So, have a nice afternoon. What in the world? Well, here's the bottom line. And the Lord knows my heart when I say this. And I hope you who know me also know my heart when I say this. I could be very wrong about all of this. And if I am, I will readily admit and confess, you know what, I got it wrong. I've done that before, where I just missed it, I was incorrect, and I've, from this pulpit, on several occasions actually, humbled myself and asked for forgiveness because I got something wrong. And if I'm wrong about this, I will absolutely do that. However, I do have to ask this question rhetorically, of course. Doesn't all of this seem to fit? All? They're very clear, in no uncertain terms, that nobody will be able to return to, this is a, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but new normal? That is an oxymoron of oxymorons, isn't it? I mean, come on. If it's new, it's not normal. If it's normal, it's not new. Welcome to the COVID-19 world. New normal. No wonder we're so confused. Who's the author of confusion, right? That's actually what I'm going to be talking about more next week when we deal with this deception of this coming great awakening. I mean, let's just indulge me. Bear with me. Let's just recap, okay? So you've got the book of Revelation that describes what appears to be something medical and pharmaceutical. You have something that everyone, all, will be required to take, both great and small, rich and poor, free and slave. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter the color of your skin. Just thought I'd throw that in. As a brother in Christ told me recently, it's not a skin problem, it's a sin problem. I mean, that's an Arab telling you that. An Arab with a tan. You like my tan, by the way? So you've got this prophecy in God's Word that tells us that this mark is going to be mandatory for all to take it. And then those who refuse it, and they're already, and we talked about this last week too, they're not so much concerned about vaccine hesitancy. No, that vaccine hesitancy, you know why? Because we'll convince them. We'll threaten them. We'll get them. So the vaccine hesitancy is not the issue. What's the issue? Vaccine refusers. So we also have detailed prophecy about those who refuse to take this mark being beheaded. And then we have medical codes updated that reimburse for beheading. Please, somebody, just let me know that it's not just me. But in all seriousness, I could be wrong, but I don't think I am. I don't think I am. I mean, if this isn't it, I don't know what is. Let's just say, for purpose of discussion, hypothetically, okay, that tomorrow morning you wake up, newsfeed, COVID-19 cases drastically reduced. The whole country, the whole world is going to immediately reopen. Everybody can go back to their lives as normal. There's no more problem. There's no more virus. Be happy. Don't worry. Right? Do you see that happening? I don't. I see it going in the opposite direction. So I think this is it. And if it is, then shouldn't it be an indication of just how close we are to the rapture of the church and subsequently the 7-year tribulation? I've said it before. I'm going to say it again. I hope you don't tire of me saying it. I'm actually going to read it, okay, in my notes. This is how I wrote it, and this is how I want to say it. I would much rather be ready for this to be it and have it not be it, as opposed to not being ready for this to be it, only to have it be it. I hope that made sense, because that's as good as it gets. In other words, I'd rather be ready and have this not be it than not be ready only to find out and wake up one day, this is it. Wouldn't you? Isn't that reasonable? This is why we do these updates every week and have been for years. And this is why we end with the gospel of Jesus Christ and the explanation of salvation by way of the simple ABCs of salvation. Before we get to the ABCs, I want to share with you another testimony we received from an online member last week. By the way, we are so grateful when we hear from you. And this one is from Mercy. What a great name, Mercy. Hi, Pastor JD. My name is Mercy. I am an online member. Today, on my bike ride on the bike trail, I met an 18-year-old named Nick. We talked about college and what he wants to be. He wants to be an attorney. I asked him if he was a Christian. He said he was an atheist. So I said, did you know to be an atheist, you have to first believe there is a God in order not to believe? That's really good. I'm using that. I'm stealing that. We had a really long talk. Praying silently, I was asking the Lord to help me to move Nick a little closer to Jesus. Now, let me explain that before I go on any further. When we had the privilege of having Barry McGuire come here and share, it was so freeing. And I always know I've heard truth when I'm freed by it. And conversely, I know that I've not heard truth when I'm bound. I mean, the truth will set you free, and whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And Jesus said, my burden is light and my yoke is easy. John said, the commands of the Lord are not burdensome. So when somebody lays a really heavy trip on me, it's probably not the Lord, because James says that the wisdom from above is easy to be entreated. It's reasonable. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. So when, as I got to know Barry, he began to really challenge me and encourage me to share my faith more one-on-one. Because you have to understand that from behind the pulpit, it's so much easier. You have no idea. But boy, out from behind the safety of this pulpit and the, you know, exclusivity of this microphone, one-on-one, it's a whole different ballgame. And this is the greatest fear that we have as Christians when it comes to sharing our faith. And it is from the enemy, because of course the enemy doesn't want you sharing your faith, right? So he puts this fear in you, this pressure on you. Man, you better lead them to Christ. If they don't pray the sinner's prayer, you failed. Don't bother. And so we don't, right? So this is one of the reasons why I believe God brought Barry McGuire into my life, and I've shared him with you, of course. He just says, you know, just move them, move everyone every day closer to Jesus. Because how do you know that you're not just the one planting the seed? We talked about this last week a little bit. And or maybe you're watering the seed that somebody else has already planted. Or maybe God will give you the profound privilege to harvest that soul and lead them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I'm here to tell you, and those of you who have led people to Christ know exactly what I'm talking about when I say this. There is no high like the high of leading somebody to Christ. I'm not proud of this. I've done a lot of drugs in my life before coming to Christ, and there is no high. This is a spiritual high, and that's the way God designed us again. So when I realize, hey, you know what? I don't have to, like, you know, close the deal. I don't have to make the sale. And that's another thing, by the way, that the Lord's had to deal with me personally about. And I'll put this on myself. You know, there's this is spiritual pride, I think. Because, you know, it's another notch on our salvation belt. It's another sale on the board. And I come from that background. And it's high-pressure sales. And we care more about making the sale than we do about winning the soul, if I can say it that way. And so it just, my whole paradigm shifted. It just changed everything. There's no more pressure. All I have to do is let them see Jesus in me, because they already want to see and know Jesus, because that's the way God created them. So when you're out and about, whether it's on a bike ride or in the store wearing your mask, it's hard to, you know, I try to smile at people and they can't see that I'm smiling. I've saved a lot of money on breath mints, by the way, because it doesn't matter anymore. I'm sorry. I know they have medical conditions for this, but speaking of medical. But sometimes it's the on the phone with that tech support or customer support individual that's really having a bad day. Can you imagine what they go through, the kind of mean, especially now, you know, somebody's been on hold for 30 minutes, and I mean, that happened to me recently, and I just, you know, she's like, she takes the call, and she was already sheepish. She's like, hello, my name is, can I help you? I could just tell she had been, you know, through the ringer. I just said, you know, thank you for taking my call. I can't even imagine you know, what you must go through during the day with so many angry customers. I just want you to know I'm not going to be one of those angry customers today. You could almost hear them, like, you know, starting to cry on the other end of the phone. And all I'm doing is sort of setting them up, because at the end of that call, I'll say something to the effect of, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray and ask God to bless the rest of your day. And all I've done is move them closer to Jesus. That's all you have to do. Just move them closer to Jesus. Well, that's what she did. She said, I actually got to the ABCs of salvation, and I knew them by heart. I was so happy. I'm going to tell you something. You've been coming to this church or watching online for any length of period of time, and you don't know these by heart yet? We need to lay hands on you or something. I don't know. He said he would start, listen to this, by picking up his Bible again. I was telling him about your Bible prophecy updates, and as soon as we started looking you up on his phone, it came to your videos right away. Poor guy, I'm so sorry about that. I'm so glad Jesus put it on my heart to take that bike ride way out in the woods today. Have a blessed day, and thank you for always sharing those ABCs of salvation. You never know how they're going to move someone closer to Jesus. So that's how I want to end, if you just give me a couple more minutes. The ABCs of salvation are in no way meant to insult anyone's intelligence. It's just a childlike, simple explanation of salvation. Jesus said you must become like a child in order to enter the kingdom of God. Not childish, childlike. What Jesus was saying was, is that like a child, very trusting. You know how children, when they're young, they're too trusting, which is why we have to talk to them about stranger danger, because they're too trusting. That's what Jesus is saying. You need to come with that childlike trust. So it's childlike, simple. The A is for admit or acknowledge that you've sinned and that you need the Savior. Romans 3:10 says there is no one righteous, not even one. You might be a good person, but you'll never be good enough. And Romans 3:23 tells us why. It's because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 is interesting because, if I can say it this way, it sort of packages the bad news first with the good news. And I think it's good to know the bad news first because, and I know this isn't proper English, so don't email me, but the badder the bad news is, the gooder the good news will be. This is really bad news. You know what the bad news is? The wages of sin is death. It's the death penalty. Wait a minute, you just got done telling me that all have sinned. Yeah, that's the point. So are you saying that everyone who was born is born a sinner? Yes. And you're saying that everyone who was born, that's born as a sinner, has already been sentenced to death? Yes. That's really bad. I know. That's the point. We've all broken God's law, His perfect law. We've all transgressed. We've all fallen short of his glory. That's the bad news. You ready for the good news? I am. The good news is this. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here's how it works. So we've been sentenced to death for all eternity because all have sinned, right? So here we are in the courtroom of eternity, and we're standing before the judge of the universe, and he asks us to enter a plea. And what is our plea? Guilty as charged. And now we're going to enter the sentencing phase. What's the sentence? The death sentence. And then in walks a man. No ordinary man. This is the God-man, Jesus the Christ. And he walks into that courtroom of eternity and says to the judge of the universe, stop, hold everything. I will go to his death, her death, in his, her place, for them instead of them. And then the judge looks at you and says, ho. Because it's a local judge. Oh. Sorry. That was bad, I know. You have to, for our online church, you have to be here in Hawaii to understand that one. That was an inside one. But he just looks at you and says, man, good news. Your death sentence has been paid. You are free to go. That's what the word gospel means. Good news. Your debt is paid. You're free to go. That's the gospel. Here's the B. The B is for believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and that God raised him from the dead. This is Romans 10, 9 and 10. It says, if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. And then lastly, the C is for call upon the name of the Lord, or as Romans 10, 9 and 10 also says, if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And here's why, verse 10. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. Hang on to that word for just a second. And it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. I love this word justified. Here's why. It's one of those words that sounds like what it is. I'm justified. You know what that means? It's just if I'd never sinned. I'm justified. Just if I'd never sinned. Because when Jesus went to that cross and paid in full, purchased the gift that he offers every single one of us. What he was doing was he was paying for and removing our sins as far as the east is from the west. And as Isaiah says, God remembers them no more. How about that? I'm justified. It's just if I'd never sinned. God, when he sees you, he does not see your sin. He sees his son. And then lastly, Romans 10, 13. I love this. For me, it was a January night on the mainland 38 years ago when I called upon the name of the Lord and was saved. All who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Why don't you all stand? We'll pray. Thank you for your patience today. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord. How could we, well, we can't, not this side of heaven, adequately, sufficiently express to you how thankful and grateful we are to you. Thank you for the gift of eternal life that you paid for us. Thank you for the good news. Thank you for telling us what the world's going to look like at the time of the end so that we would know and be ready. And Lord, thank you for the simplicity of the gospel. Lord, I pray for anyone who might be here in this church service or watching online that has never called upon you, putting their trust in you, looking to you, confessing with their mouths, believing in their heart, I pray that today they would make the most important decision of their life for eternal life. Lord, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.